love Might Delete Later.
I bloody hope you do. You can support our show by using the new Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there is no regular commitment.
Just smash that link in the show description and support us now so we can keep making this podcast.
Thank you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to Might Delete Later, where we forage for social media posts gone by and hold them up and ask our guest, haha, what's that?
I'm Gina and I love social media.
I'm Mrs. Stevie and I'm inherently suspicious of it. Today we're looking at comedian Rose Matafeo's tweets and Instagrams. Rose was on Taskmaster last year. She was excellent. And she also has a BBC sitcom in the works and has done like loads of Edinburgh shows, which are all of them are my favourite show. Filming had to be paused because of lockdown, but we recorded this before then, which is why it sounds so beautiful. Do you remember studios?
Oh, good times. This was so great because Rose reminded me of Bebo existing.
Oh my God, high five.
Yeah, and how you spend days trying to come up with a username that was like kooky enough to like make someone fancy you.
We also talk a lot about the kind of emotional side of being on social media, which was quite interesting. So have a listen. Go to our Instagram at Might Delete Later Pod to see the photos that Rose talks about, and just have a really nice rest of your day, please.
Please do.
We've got Rose!
Yay!
Yay! Hi, Rose.
Hi.
How are you?
Am I close enough to the mic?
You can bring it closer.
So,
get comfortable.
Yeah, that's good. And that's such an incredible intro to the podcast. I didn't check that beforehand. I did it
just,
on
honestly,
air.
It just happened.
Thanks for having me, guys.
It's so fine.
Of course.
It's so fine.
It's fine.
We
so
don't
good.
Mind.
Yeah, no, are you, it's okay.
It's okay.
Okay.
It's satisfactory.
So great.
And okay, I'm paying you to be here. Am I paying a fee?
Yes.
Imagine if I was paying you a fee
to
be here as a guest. Like, you know, when you're at school and like the kids that have no talent like pay to be an Annie. Like high school production
stuff. Happened?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I did not know
like
that.
It was like holiday programs where it's like, yeah, and you have to pay for your kid to like do this whole thing.
Got it.
But they're like shit and like, yeah, they just get put
they
in
just got money.
Yeah, and then you and then
really,
you
isn't that how we all sort of live our lives? Do you know what I mean?
What, paying to be an annie?
In some ways.
In a way.
In a way, aren't we all annie?
And
quite
you're
literally,
paying
I've
us
done that.
The fee of your time. So we do really appreciate that.
We do.
So what is, what's the thing that you want to delete this week, Gina? If you could delete anything. Mm. Abstract concept, animate object, inanimate object, anything.
Fish sauce.
Is it?
Wow. Yeah, I was really into fish sauce as kind of an add-on to a dish, and now it's just made, I can't look at it directly, it freaks me out, because once I had a fish cake in uni that was chewy like yogurt and I've never been able to forget it, and it makes me want to vomit every time.
Oh, why? Because it had like bits of like eyeball
it was gone off fish cake that was gone off fish.
Oh, God.
And I chewed it and it was like chewing gum. And ever since, fish cakes have made me go, huh! And then my friend like loves sushi, like loves all the fish, and I love fish, it's great. But fish sauce just smells exactly like fish cake. So I would delete fish sauce for this week, because I think next week maybe I'll be okay with it. This week makes me want to bock. That means be sick.
Bock.
I think
bock.
I'm convinced that bock is a northern term for be sick, but every time I've said it, people have been like, that's not a thing.
Yes, I grew up in the same house as you, and I've never heard you say that before. So.
I hate myself. What would you like to delete this week?
I'd like to delete silk. I spent quite a lot of money and I bought some silk monogrammed pyjamas.
Oh, yeah, so that
amazing.
We had matching, because I had
matching
them
ones,
as well.
Gina got sent them by a fancy company, and so I was like, I will buy them so I can match. And I then looked up what silk was. And I didn't know, I'm 31, I didn't know that it's made with worms. Thousands, hundreds of millions maybe, worms will have died.
Yeah, they set fire to them.
And then like when I said it, my boyfriend was like, what do you think? Why do you think silk was so expensive? And I realised it was because I thought, genuinely thought this. I didn't obviously like engage in it, but I just knew that subconsciously, I thought it was a known fact, that they like polished
cotton to make it shiny.
She said to me, in all seriousness, when I said, yeah, silk's really bad, she said, yeah, I thought it was just cotton that they just like shined up.
Yeah, and shined all the people up. Had to buff the cotton and that was why it was bad.
Lacquered up.
Ridiculous.
What an adorable, adorable human.
Is it,
though?
Or is it just ignorance?
What about satin?
Yeah, what satin is plastic. It's not actual silk. Yeah. It's like fake silk. But then like with everything, you know, like, all the worms haven't died, but the human labour. There's always an ethical quandary in everything.
Is really bad, obviously. But then faux fur, I've got a faux fur coat over there. And
plastic.
The amount of little fur things that come off, they go in my throat. I eat
but also,
my coat.
Steve, I thought you were going to say, like a normal version, it's microplastic shedding into the environment.
Yes,
but you're like,
it's shedding
I can't stop eating
to you. Yeah, you are part of the environment.
I can
to
feel
be fair.
It. I'm like, I'm wearing, so now I'm technically wearing a fur coat inside my body.
Oh, no.
Anyway, what would you like to delete? If that image of me with a fur coat is on my body.
I'd like to delete the image of a fur coat on the inside. Okay, well, actually, I was thinking about this, and I mean, to be honest, I would like to. So this week I deleted Instagram. But no. Well, no. Take it back.
Okay,
because
uncut,
I deleted Instagram and then I was just having a horrible day, I think, mentally. And I think Instagram, you know when you get into this horrible cycle where you go between three apps and you spin out, you spend about 3 hours on all of them and you're like, what am I doing? I think I got to breaking point, which I get to breaking point a couple times a year, where I just delete the whole thing. And I had the best day
honestly,
of all time. But then obviously, you know, from work and stuff, you do need to have it.
So I think this is like a really amazing hack. And then like, I think people don't feel like they need to delete it because they think, I just won't go on it, I'll set a boundary.
I know.
But like muscle memory, you just pick it up and go on it.
100%.
And so I've started doing it at 6 p.m. and then re-downloading it at 9 a.m. the next day.
I'm the same. So this is what I've done. I've re-downloaded it and then I just delete it again because it doesn't take long.
No.
But doesn't that just say something so sad about our self-control? And it's horrible, but it is. I would highly recommend just deleting it. I don't have Twitter on my phone, but I just go on my freaking browser, which is awful.
Yeah, over Edinburgh, I deleted it and then went on it every day because I was just like, I'll just go on twitter.com.
Yeah, exactly.
It takes ages, so it's actually the same thing. It's just really annoying.
I just think we have to be kind to ourselves and realise that, like, it's not our fault. We're just a product of all this bullshit stuff. Like, it's just another thing to feel bad about that you can't control yourself with that, but it's like, it's really not your fault. It's an addiction thing. Like, it is created to be addictive.
It's proper addiction in terms of, like, I found that I got to breaking point recently because I could feel physically how much physical endorphins I was relying upon from validation or something. Actually, what happened the other day was I was at the hairdressers and I was in the basin. They were doing something to my hair. Ended up being there for 20 minutes and I didn't take my phone with me. I left it like in my bag. And just the abject horror and despair I had for 20 minutes to sit with my own thoughts for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Because I really don't like being left to my, like, it's
in
never
your own
a good
head.
Sign. Yeah, never a good thing for me. But then I was like, there was once a time when I could do that.
Yeah.
And it was really kind of scary to like feel like
do you
to realise that.
Do you get the jerk? Because I'll be watching TV and I'll go like to get my phone.
Yeah,
jerk to
and
get
I'm
it.
Like, oh, I put it in the other room. And then I just jerked to get my phone. Like, and I know it's not there. Mm. I started to get really, really, I think with comedy and also with journalism and you just start going like, oh, they've been
comparison
by that person or like,
it's...
oh wow, they've got a, you know, a sitcom on BBC Three or whatever, and you're like, oh. So you have to meet Rose immediately. But no, it's nice, but it's also like, I love finding that stuff out, but I want to find that stuff out because like, I've gone to the Guardian to look at the news section. Not
or
that
like
I don't want
the
news the thrown
with your
at
friends
me
and been like, that's amazing.
I find out through someone or I find out through you or I like it's just, oh, I don't like just being served this information when I'm like, I feel so shit and I'm like, oh great, everyone's written a book. Like, everyone's written a book.
Totally.
It's wild. I mean, I think it's bad for envy.
Yeah.
But it's also, if you're already kind of like I think maybe it can create it in people who weren't perhaps envious before.
I hope
they
agree.
Because I didn't really look awful. So when I did my journalism MA, everyone was quite like, oh, like, go, like, quite cutthroat. And I was a bit like, it's fine. I didn't mind at all. And it was only when Twitter started and suddenly I was like, oh, everyone's got a job and I'm a waitress. And I just lost it because of Twitter.
Also, specifically for me, in terms of, just to bring it back to me for a second.
I mean, that's why you're the guest.
Just kidding.
You're literally the guest.
No, but just also, I've lived in England for 4 years-ish. I never remember. But It's so lonely. Like, all, so it's my only connection to seeing what my friends are up to, or my family are up to, is that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So it's so difficult. Like, so every morning I can like get up and see what my mates are doing and stuff. And on one side it's, oh my God, I'm so sad I'm not there. And then on another side it's like, oh, I can still be in contact.
Oh, wow. What a weirdly bittersweet joy, but also weird thing.
It's like Beauty and the Beast, the mirror.
It's the mirror.
Oh my God,
how has your relationship with it changed in the past couple of years? Because lots happened in your career and stuff. Has it changed? Has your relationship shifted with it a bit? Or
yeah, well, it's just weird. I mean, I feel like I'm grown up with things like Twitter. Like, I've been on Twitter for like 10 years, I suppose, now, which is nuts. And with Instagram, yeah, I don't know. I've gained a lot more, like, I guess, followers and stuff. But I've never ever been one to, which I don't know if it's bad or not, but like to like care about how many there are or compare that to anyone else.
Good.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's more for me the validation I get from people liking it, seeing who likes things.
Yeah.
It makes me like just so ashamed of myself. It's like this deep shame for feeling, it's like self-flagellation for feeling a prick of endorphins.
Yeah.
The other day I stopped myself from posting something because I'm like, why am I doing this? Why am I posting this? No, doesn't anyone need to hear this? And it's just.
Well, it's hard because there's like billion-dollar industries that's literally designed to make you post that. So you are, your little brain, your tiny brain is going on.
Tiny little
such
brain.
A small
cute
brain.
Girl brain.
But it's like, it's battling these things that are just, that you are, it's not your fault. Like, there are people who are.
None of us are fully in control of this. And that's why it's really good to talk about it as well, because God, like there's two sides to every situation. There's like, oh, I want to make sure I'm posting more because it's good for my career, but I also don't want to rely on posting all the time because that's not my career. But then I also want to be responsible about what I post, but then I'm also a person and I think things and make mistakes. There's so many dichotomies and like, nuances in social media and like how we interact with it, which is why it's just good to talk about it, because I think we all feel like that
breakdown when I muted everyone on Instagram because I suddenly was like, but the algorithm will be affected.
And
I was like, I've got no followers, like what was I, like what,
also
why
do
fuck
I the
care?
Algorithm is not a real thing.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is. What does that mean? I mean, I know what algorithms
things,
are.
Like, so if you like comment more, if people comment more on your posts and they come up on their feeds more because it's not chronological on Instagram. So
this is what I, that's what freaks me the fuck out
I
in terms
it.
Of Twitter as well. It's like, I don't want to be like, I don't want it, like the fact that you see a different Twitter feed than someone else's.
Yeah.
And it is complete control over what you see. Mm. And it's not as democratic, or you know, it's not as like as you would hope it to be. It's just
do you know what, I think I have like a slightly weird perception of it because I used to work in social media. So I've seen and know how to, I understand exactly how it works. It's just math and science. I understand how the algorithms work, why they work the way they do, how people build brands, blah 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 blah. But I feel the same as you guys feel about social media, but I also feel sort of liberated from it because I'm like, people are like, I have to keep up the algorithm. And I, because I've seen it, I'm like, no, you don't, because it changes every 6 months.
Yeah, that's
you would
true.
Never know anyway.
Right.
There's not one algorithm that you have to keep up with, because now, look, they're going to take likes off Instagram. The entire system changes
that
every 6 months.
That would be really nice.
So you can't worry about it too much, because you can't win. You just have to use it how you use it. Just let it just go with the flow, because everyone's using it differently. No one knows what they're really doing.
Any medium of any kind.
Yeah.
It's a hellscape of, there's good television, there's bad television, there's shit books, there's bad books.
It's like
you
society,
know.
But in it's a constant. Digital way.
I mean, it turns out we are the real enemies, to be honest. Humankind.
Oh, yeah, our own brains. Well. Let's go home.
Our own thoughts are our own enemies. Got Gina's pulled up some of your first tweets. It was it's slightly more difficult than other people's because you were on, you joined Twitter like 2008, but then you didn't tweet until 2009.
What's so funny as well, you know, I have Rose underscore Matafeu, but because I couldn't get the just
Rose
my
Matafeu.
Name, because I own that one as well, and
no.
I don't know what the password is. And I have tried to contact, I don't know how to contact Twitter and be like, oh, this is me. I don't want that handle, but I can't.
No. How would you know how to do that?
Like, I don't know what the password is.
It's something like Fluky Gal.
Yeah, exactly.
Fluky Gal
at 12.
Just fluking
it. Excuse me. It was Bilbo underscore and underscore co at hotmail.com, actually. So
Bilbo.
Do you know, genuinely, I think that is, and I can't get into my Hotmail, so I think, yeah.
Oh,
mine
I love
drawn
that.
To the flame, so we're doing
amazing.
Drama girl George over here. Anyway.
Incredible.
Yeah, so you joined in November 2008.
Okay.
So it's been 11, almost 12 years you've had an account.
What?
How crazy. But also, something weird happened with you.
Mm.
So when you go on Twitter and you want to find someone's first tweet, you put at the top, from username, then you put since, and you put the dates in, you put until the next day. So it's like a little code you put in, you can go straight to the beginning of the account. You've somehow nailed all the algorithms because I couldn't get to the beginning of your account, but I can do it for everyone else. I have no idea why.
You've also tweeted the most. You tweeted like 25,000 times.
You tweeted literally 1,000 times a year since you were born.
No!
Nish tweeted like 15,000. 10,000 more!
Oh my God. So Twitter's my vibe.
But I think I found out why you've tweeted so much, because your first tweet on the 14th of June 2009 were to someone called Devon_says. And there was a series of four tweets where you're having a conversation. This is a conversation.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I just don't care anymore. That's the truth. She talks about how we need to be independent and no one in the real world is, second tweet, going to care about us. But when all you get taught in class is how to get excellences, how are we supposed to learn?
Oh my God.
Third tweet, how to actually enjoy the process of learning and the significance of knowledge. And then the last one, it makes me angry that when I YouTube Debussy, I get about a million Edward Cullen fan vids because Claire de Lune was in Twilight. So like, so many different things going on there.
It's great.
So you started this account and you went straight into a decision and a conversation about education.
So Devon is my, she was a friend from school.
Oh.
So Devon would have been, but then, so 2009 would have been my last year of high school. And what class was I in with Devon? So hang on.
Because you're talking about a teacher there.
I just don't care about, that's the truth. She talks about how we need to be independent. No one in the real world is going to care about us. All you get taught in class is how to get excellences. How are we supposed to learn, actually enjoy the process of the, what the fuck? I actually am shock. I don't remember. Do you know, it's like, well, you don't remember, like, who is this person?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a different life. And also, why are you texting them?
I know.
Like, why are you doing on Twitter?
I don't know.
But also, my biggest thing that I take umbrage here is that a teacher said to you that no one in the real world is going to care about you.
Oh my God, but what was this? I'm trying to figure out which teacher this was. But yeah, I can, that's totally, but I sound incredibly smart.
You do sound really smart.
I sound
Devon
smart.
Has not replied. So that's concerned.
Yeah. I think your Twitter like interaction for a lot of those years, the reason you have so many tweets is because you were having conversations with mates.
Tons of conversations.
Like that's like, that could have gone back and forth 15, 20 conversations, because that's a serious conversation.
Yeah.
You're using that platform as like a kind of like DM WhatsApp messenger vibe.
I think it was because probably I didn't have Devon's number and she probably tweeted. And that is an interesting thing. I do think I did a lot of that, and I 100% connected and made a lot of friends over Twitter early days, and like proper friends who I like know and met up with in real life, which is so funny because it reminds me of when my mum was younger. When I was younger, my mum, she was younger as well. She didn't get older as I was younger. She's like Benjamin Button. She would like make friends like on like MSN like chat rooms of like Electronica chat rooms, you know. And you'd be into, and she'd make friends who then she'd meet up with and stuff. And it was a proper way of connecting with people and like you're making friends. And I think at that stage, Twitter in the late 2000s.
It was safe.
It was like that. Yeah, it was
safe
like that.
And friendly.
So nice.
And like cozy. Yeah. Okay, great.
So also the one that I wanted to ask you about is that you said on the 5th of August, I totally forgot how awesome Rumblefish is.
Oh my God.
What's Rumblefish? Rumblefish?
It's a Francis Ford Coppola film from 1980. 86.
That's so cool.
It's got that Matt Dillon in it. So this is because I had a deep obsession with the author S.E. Hinton, who wrote a young adult fiction called The Outsiders, which was then later turned into a film in the 80s, starring Francis Ford Coppola again, starring Rob Lowe, Patrick Swayze.
Oh, I've seen that.
Tom Cruise, Ralph Macchio.
Oh, the main boys.
Yes, I've seen that. Yes.
And same author, and did one called Rumblefish, which is, it's just... Oh,
did you just have a mad crush on all the boys there?
Oh, hell yeah. Yes! I was deeply obsessed with it. No. Yeah, it was the hottest boys ever. And I had a big crush on Matt Dillon at that time. I was really massively into, I like movies and stuff as a teenager, but I was a real, like, pushing that kind of nerdy vibe on social media.
I love
I can't say it's changed.
But it was really important that, like, I remember when, like, Facebook came out and you had the profile thing where you could put, like, your favourite movies,
yes,
favorite quotes. And I would spend, like, 7 hours thinking about that. Like, what's people to think my so I always said Run Lola Run, which is like cool independent artsy film. Yeah,
absolutely.
But it wasn't. It was Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. Like, that would be
Run Lola Run is such a funny one.
Yeah, and like with bands, I used to be like, I'm into mindless self indulgence.
Yeah, oh my
and
god.
People would be like, who are they? And I'd be like, oh, I don't know who they are. But like, I'd like all those pages because it was like small bands no one heard of. Totally. So I was like, oh, Gina's at the forefront of music, obviously, as a 15-year-old.
It goes back to MySpace as well, having that. I love that. Like, having the song to play.
Oh, so much fun.
It's so cool. It was such a cool concept.
It was
to be like,
creative, right?
Welcome to, it is welcome to MySpace.
Yes. You could code. Yes. Like, so you could code snowflakes falling and for Christmas.
Do you know what? Does anyone remember Bebo?
Of course.
I never went on it.
Are you kidding me? Bebo, I was my jam.
Oh my
god. Friends on Bebo, other half on Bebo.
All the cool
really
girls on Bebo had like sick pages, and I was like, really wanted to be a Bebo cool girl, so I had a page for six
Bebo
months.
Bebo cool girl.
And then a Bebo cool girl.
Bebo was Bebo.com/ that nerd rose. That
oh my god, I love it! I was, oh my god, I was mop head TM because I had a big emo fringe.
Big emo fringe.
Oh, I was like, emo
and then I went to band night, BANNED, because now adults allowed. And people used to come up to me and be like, are you mop head? And I'd be like, maybe.
And that was like, that was in Northwich as well. So it was all other people in Northwich being like, oh my god, that's mop head.
I love that.
She's in Tesco lame. With mom, with her mom, not my mom.
Big mop
more
head.
My mom, actually, but in terms of this character, I wasn't your sister. Okay.
That worked out really well.
I was Stevsky. Anyway, when they started linking Spotify to Facebook, and you could see what I was actually listening to, which is like Lily Allen, The Fear, and Britney Spears, Womanizer, over and over again.
Yes.
It did not match with the favourite bands at all, which is like consistent. No.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What is a post that you've done that you regret? Could be on Twitter, could be on Instagram, anything.
A post that I've done that I regret. So I was thinking about this, and it's very hard to like to share this without sounding like an absolute awful person.
Save the one where you look too fit.
Yeah, basically. I was going to say that, but can I say that? No. I just look really good. No, so I reckon there were elements actually of like early Twitter where I was, you know, when you're a fucking hormonal early 20s gal on like kind of the wild west of Twitter. I remember, and I was doing comedy at the time. I remember I did a comedy show where I was taking the piss out of this book that this girl was like almost like early and pre-influencer vibes. But she, you know, when people write these books, like self-help books, it was an actor who I now know and I'm friends with, and I'm like, and I'm really, and she's in like a sketch show that we did, and she's such a brilliant person.
Oh.
And but I remember I was so I hated her book so much.
Mm.
Because I was really angry at it in terms of it was like I was before I knew her and I decided I was like this is everything I'm against, right? And I remember like kind of it was a form of bullying. It was a form of like, but I think with comedy, there's such a fine line between bullying and like jumping on a hashtag and you know like doing a part of it is like not bullying but like, it's like teasing and like I think there is a real fine line between kind of teasing someone without knowing that there's someone behind it reading those tweets and then kind of being definitely. Like, oh, it was actually a funny hashtag in the sense that it was ideas for what your autobiography would be.
It just
seemed like a real slight to this person because it was using the exact hashtag. But it was actually specifically because it was New Zealand. Like, I think that happens a lot with other people, other figures, prominent figures who have a million followers, and you go, they're not going to care, they're not going to see this if I use this hashtag and do something funny with it. But New Zealand being such a small place, it was like, oh, those people, you know all these people.
Yeah,
you will meet her. You will work with them. And so then it became like, and then you, just, yeah, it became a thing where it was like, real person's probably reading these and feeling like everyone's
so
laughing
like,
at
them. And then you're like,
did
oh,
you
shit.
Ever broach it with her? No,
we never
friends.
Properly talked about it.
Mm.
We just kind of never referenced it. But then we started working together.
Do you think
together.
She remembered?
I reckon she does.
Really?
100%. Mm. But people so rarely say, I was wrong.
Yeah, lose
and I'm
yeah.
sorry.
Yeah.
In those situations. I mean, I had that actually very early on when I was a young writer and stuff. And I did this, I was doing a film blog and I made a joke. So I made it was such an amazing lesson. I made a joke, which was basically like a Rehypno joke. So
right.
it was like, which at the time, and you guys will know, like it is so much context. Like, but we lived in an era where those were being made in every comedy, mainstream comedy.
Yeah, you
film.
Thought you had to kind of make that joke in order to get anywhere.
100%. And it was like, and I did it. And then someone commented being like, that's a really bad taste joke. I really don't like that. It's really offended me. And then I just obviously had a nervous breakdown. I was like, oh my God, what have I done? Oh my, my life's
I'll never work
end.
Again.
Yeah. And then I was like, and then I typed an apology. I was like, you're so right. It's so horrible. We've taken it out. Thank you for saying that.
Wow.
And then the person
that never
just replied. Never. And then the person replied going, thank you so much. So nice to see it like that happen. Thanks for listening. And I was like, what just happened here?
That is so cool. Like,
it was magical because I just don't think that perhaps that would happen if that happened on Twitter. If that happened on Twitter today, it would then become a conversation between other people quoting that tweet. Or, you know, like
it becomes a fight. And I have so much respect for people who can go. I have so much respect for people who can go. Oh yeah, actually, yeah, I haven't considered that before. Dead on, right on. Thanks for letting me know.
I think that's
huge.
Yeah, so hard to do it when you don't have someone's face in front of you. Also, you can imagine the awful person that has said this to you, and like you can completely make up someone who's like this evil face of someone
who's out to get you instead of someone who's just trying to make it better.
Yeah, just trying to educate you in a nice, relaxed way.
Yeah, but anyway, God, it all got
good
dark.
On you,
it all got dark. It all got dark.
Got dark. No, it's good. It's very interesting.
But we have to talk about. Yeah, you're right. Like you have to talk about this stuff, and like. Mm. There isn't any, like, I just don't think there's any progress online if you can't go, I've done really stupid shit and I've learned from it. And also, like, if you can't have a conversation about doing stupid shit, like, we're all like, oh, yeah, we just want people to learn and be better. But it's like, if someone says they did something bad, we're like, oh, you're cancelled.
Well, that's the problem.
But it's if you can go, oh, yeah, that was really messed up that I did that. And then look where I've got now I'm like a different place. And it's like, well, great, more power to you. Why can't we have that conversation?
So do you have a post that you're proud of?
Oh, yeah. Well, sure.
I have one of yours I can think of that I'm proud of you
for. Yeah, so if I think through it, we're like, that's the best. Like you're one of like 2000, I think it's 2014 versus 2019. You're like 2014, you're looking at a waxwork of Conan O'Brien. And then 2019, she's on Conan O'Brien show.
That was cool. Really good. I felt,
I didn't recognise you because you got a little straight hair.
I know, my God, my little perm straight hair. It was crazy. Lots happened. My hair is, you know.
It's mainly the hair that was took away. Yes. A lot happened with your hair.
I think so. I thought that was just a funny, because I just found that old photo going through some old photos and I was like, that's hilarious that was five years. But my thing, I think I do on Instagram for a year, I decided I would never do, all my stories would only be of me eating to a song.
Oh, so, I watched all of them. And then I had to stop because I was like, I did this feature about mukbang.
Yeah,
And it's kind of like old, it's not all old men, but it tends to be.
Sorry.
Mukbang is Korea?
Korean.
And they eat, it's often very, very small, dainty looking girls.
Yeah.
And they eat shitloads of food.
Yeah.
And they video themselves and like, hundreds of thousands, millions of people just watch them and they comment and then while they're eating they'll be like answering comments. It's not a sexual thing.
No, but the guys make
it's a bit of a sexual thing, I think.
It's an emotionally, it's a loneliness thing, I think, a lot of the time.
Yeah, so that lonely guys who are just like, want to eat, but then the girls are hot.
The girls are hot. And but I watch some ones where the girls aren't hot, so it's...
Oh, great. Well, I'm so glad. I found it very difficult.
Also, I watch male ones as well a lot of the
Yes,
time.
That's true. There are lots of male
ones. I'm a good book fan. And you could always tell as well when I was going through my loneliest periods of time because it's very... I never do it around people. So you could... it's always not when I'm so lonely and I'm like, oh, I'll just post a
video. That though. That's yeah. cool.
It was good.
But someone messaged me the other day. It was really sweet, just saying like, you know... I'd posted something of like, I don't know, I always post about food and all that, but just saying that like she has a weird relationship with food and seeing someone like be happy and like
enjoying
enjoy food.
Food. Like, yeah.
So good.
It was a cool thing. And I was like, I'd never thought about that. And I was like, that's so cool. And that means so much.
And what antidote to a lot of the content on Instagram and on social media, which is around looking good and clean eating and all this fad that is actually very, very close to very problematic eating habits.
The final question I want to ask you is about Taskmaster.
Oh, yes.
Jerusa, congratulations. Well done. You're great on it. And you did a tweet that was along the lines of, I keep getting just DMs from guys being like, I don't know why, but I find it really hot. Like, just
so funny.
So bizarre.
Can I just bob in and say, like, what a great backhanded compliment.
I know.
It's like the same as when people say to me, like, oh, it's amazing that you're so confident with the work you're doing. The assumption is that I shouldn't be confident in work.
Yeah.
The assumption is that they shouldn't be attracted to you. Like, what?
It's the game. It's negging.
So
it's being like,
it is the game.
I guess you will never feel like, I may feel a little bit uncomfortable and then you'll be like intrigued by me. Like, no, we won't.
But it's not even like, it's actually even more stupid than the game because there's no actually tactic to it because what it is it's men trying to make themselves look interesting or deep by the fact that they're attracted to someone who's funny. You know, I mean, like, it's like it can't compute.
They're like,
funny,
to a
funny and
woman.
Fit. How could it exist in the same universe? It's just like it's so funny as well. And it's always the same type of guy who will be like a middle-aged dad from like the Midlands. And like, so I never will say weird or girl crush because a crush is a crush.
Very true.
Girl crushes weirdly, like,
so hot,
kind of scared of being, you know, like,
queer.
Attracted to a woman.
Yeah,
exactly. It's so bizarre. And then weird crush is like, what are you talking about? There's no weirdness about any attraction.
No.
So it's
like a guilty pleasure thing. It's like, oh, my guilty pleasure is...
Exactly.
No, it's a pleasure.
Oh,
and it's
God.
Like all of these things, there's so much shame attached to these things. It's like, why? Just say that you fancy someone.
And I find it hilarious. I don't find it offensive in any way.
Do you ever respond?
So funny.
Just, they do fancy you, so it's not.
I don't.
Take it.
I'll take it. But it's just so funny. Like, what kind of glitch in the matrix? For some reason, I find that person attractive. And it's
I find an attractive person attractive. It's so weird.
But I think it is because, you know, I think especially for women and especially for comedians as well. But, you know, you've got to do one thing. It's like you stay and you're like, are you a supermodel or are you a comedian?
Yeah.
Or are you? And, you know, like, you're like, well, you can't. And, you know, it's a strange thing for people to confuse.
I got told very early on to not wear so much makeup on stage. Because people would struggle to find me funny. So like Massive Dad, I was in a sketch group ages ago and we all got told that. But what was really frustrating is it worked. So then when we stopped wearing makeup, we felt more like we are now comedians rather than we're trying to look good. It's like, well, hang on, if we are struggling with this, then...
But this is the bullshit thing. Like,
so bad.
You might not wear makeup and feel better. You might wear loads of makeup and feel better, but it's not even about which is the right choice. It's just giving you the choice to allow to do it without someone else telling you what's the best thing to do.
And tell a joke. Anyway, so
it's deeply political, though, the way you look.
How did you deal with the... Did you, like...
Did you respond?
I don't think I responded. I think I just let them kind of do it. Like, I feel like any type of response just, like, goes to... I think that tweet was such a blanket response to so many people. And I think a couple of guys who had probably said that recently were like, oh, ha, ha, ha. Like, you know, kind of maybe saw that and went, oh, I'm not the only... Because I'm like, you're not the only one.
It's all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, like, yeah, completely.
So interesting, though.
Yeah, but it wasn't a bad thing. I mean, sometimes... It's much better than the alternative. People being like, "You're ugly, bitch. You ugly bitch. What? Why are you on television?" But yeah, no, I think it's incredibly it's a deeply political thing when it comes to doing comedy as a woman and how you look. And it goes the other way as well. Like, I'd say someone like Chrissy Teigen, before she had Twitter, when she tweets, I'm like, "What? How, but you can't be this funny. You're a model.
You're so beautiful.
You're a beautiful model. You're so funny." And I'm like, you've got to put, like, it's really these really kind of, so like you know, narrow-minded ideas or concept of what people are.
Yeah.
And categorize them.
Oh,
you,
we've internalized like, them and like we feel ourselves
100%
like realizing them when we see things like that. You're like, it's oh, why
so
do I think that?
Bizarre. Yeah.
So strange.
But it's nice to constantly be questioning.
Always.
Yeah.
Always questioning.
Love, love, love.
Learning.
Yeah. You're not weird for liking anyone.
No, never. I like who you
you're
like.
You're not special. Men, you're not special. Yeah.
You all
we'll
fancy
call the episode that.
Men, you are
men, you're special.
Okay, so Stevie, we got this joyful feature. Mm-hmm. You pick the three people.
Oh, yes.
So we're playing follow and follow block.
It's very quick, very fun.
I love it.
So who would you have these three people follow and follow block? So I've picked Alex Horn, Greg Davies, Ed Gamble.
And for context, these are all Taskmaster.
Yes, Taskmaster hosts and also friend and Taskmaster fellow man.
Guest.
Okay.
Fellow man.
Okay.
Ed Gamble.
I would block Greg because he doesn't follow me.
Oh, fuck him.
Yeah. He doesn't follow me and he doesn't give a shit. And he doesn't go on his Twitter as well.
So he wouldn't care.
He wouldn't care.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Also, fuck him.
Oh, no, actually, you know what? No. Actually, I changed it in my mind. I would unfollow Greg.
Mm-hmm.
Follow Alex and then block Ed because Ed would find it funny.
Right.
Oh, true.
He'd get angry. He'd get furious. Like if I blocked Alex one, Alex would be such a sweet man. He'd be like, what did that?
Yeah, you, and there's not like you don't have that kind of like bantery, like, haha, lol, you're a dick,
exactly.
Alex.
Exactly. Also, Ed and I only argue on Twitter.
Yes, I have noticed that.
Only are, and basically in real life as well, and on text. So basically we'll go from Twitter to the text, and then there's lots of different narratives of arguments going on. So I think if I blocked him, it would just add to this kind of mythology, I think, of
yeah,
us
a
on
real
Twitter.
Mistake.
Oh, that's good.
Because then there'd be a lot of like, why has Rose Mataferi blocked Ed Gamble? You might make it to the Daily Mail sidebar.
I might.
You know, you'd start some stories.
I'd love that.
That's quite joy.
No, I love that. I might just
good
block
answer.
Him.
You know what? Upon that, just block Ed Gamble. Maybe we should all just block him now.
That'd be great.
I like Ed Gamble. He's so sweet.
He's so great. Well, thank you so much, Rose. That was real fun. And also, for the bits you didn't see, and to see Rose did phone roulette and then stopped on a picture and then told us about it, and it involved a fish. go to the Might Delete Later Instagram TV channel at Might Delete Later Pod.
Yes. And also, can we just say, I love it when people are just honest about social media. You can sit here and be like, yeah, it's so much fun. Like, I just do it because it's my job, but it's just cool to be honest about it and talk about it normally.
Yes, I really liked your tweet, your post that you regret. I thought it was really good.
I know it's too deep now. I'm in a real dark mood with our social media, so I think I'm going to come on the app.
All like that. It's peaks and troughs, and it's better. And there's not enough conversations where people are like, yeah, I don't understand it, or this is really annoying. Most of them are just like, social's great for your brand.
Or it's the worst thing ever. In between. What's your Twitter handle?
At @Rose_Mataferi, as we all know, because I don't have the original.
That's the actual name.
And then it's got no underscore for Instagram, but you know.
Fine. Okay. Perfect. Fine.
I just mainly post about cheese scones and stuff.
It's good content. It's dry. It's hot stuff. If you can follow us on Might Delete Later at Might Delete Later Pod on Instagram, and please do like, subscribe, all of that business, and send us your, go deep into your own grid and send us your weird first Instagram post or your weird Twitter post as well, and we'll repost our faves.
And remember, have a think about your relationship with social media. Don't get too precious about what you post. It's meant to be
fun. But until it's not.
Yeah, and then if it's not, well, just might delete later.
When the fun stops. Like better.
Oh my God. Bet responsibly.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.